Yeah, okay. Well, we're another sold out concert here at the Live Room, and this time it's Yola. Hello, Yola.
Hi.
And yeah, great to see you. Real happy person you are this afternoon.
Oh, yes. And yeah, life is good, you know.
Yeah, but tiring.
Oh, a little bit tiring, yeah, but I'm warming up slowly.
So you've come through a lot in your short life so far. Your experiences that you feed your writing.
Yes, very much so. I often say that writing is the cheapest therapy you can get. And so it allows you to externalise, like, and have a look at your life. And that little bit of objectivity is a massive gift, you know, if you can articulate how you're feeling. And sometimes it's easier to articulate how you're feeling in lyric, in kind of rhyme and syntax, more than it is maybe, you know, just like, you know, in situ, you know. And so there's a great kind of sense of liberation from writing, and not just for liberation for myself, but sometimes I write as a flag of some kind, an alarm sometimes, a kind of pay attention to. Like, if I'm able to talk and represent my vulnerability being who I am, then that can represent the complexity of my demographic, which I don't think is necessarily represented broadly, certainly within the media. My demographic is represented without much nuance, you know. So it's almost my job and my privilege, but my duty to represent vulnerability and strength and being and focused and feeling spaced and like absolutely every incarnation of like in experience that I can. I don't have to be just that hyper-focused kind of strong black woman, but I also don't have to be that flighty kind of stonehead. I don't have to be like, you know, like any kind of one thing or that super emotional kind of, you know, brackets crazy woman, you know. Like, there are lots of stereotypes that are negative. And so just wanting to kind of move through and write songs that relate to everybody is it's really important. It's more important being a minority.
Walk Through Fire is a great title for a CD, but it means a lot more coming from your experience.
Yes, it does. It does. And specifically, although it doesn't reference it, it's more about being birthed through fire. Like, it took that to galvanize everything, you know. Like, when, especially when you're a woman of colour that's been in an abusive environment that wasn't with people of colour, people don't assume that that's even possible because you're seen as the eternally strong black woman. And so it can't be conceived of that you would be, like, the victim of something like that. And so, like, that whole song came from this this sense of, what, when I was actually in a house fire and I was burning, it dawned on me that I'd take my life now any day of the week whilst being on fire. And that made me laugh so hard. And that whole, the kind of galvanising moment was that it was the only thing that actually brought me out of that kind of amygdala reflex into, like, actual analytical mind and actual action and actually putting myself out. Like, I joke about it on stage all the time about that being snapped out of it, but like, you need to be snapped out of that kind of panic state, because I get very bunny in headlights when I get into my panic state, and the only thought that could get me out of it was how hilarious it was that I was cool burning. Like, I just would not go back to that life one bit, and that snapped me out of it. And like, you get quite, you know, convinced, certainly, that you're imagining what you're going through. And so it's very important to have those moments that go, well, you know, if fire is the only, if that is the only thing that's worse than fire, then you're, you know, you certainly weren't in an imaginary kind of state of mind. It was definitely very real. And so, yeah, like I write to kind of, to tell that story a little, you know, not maybe not so explicitly all the time. Some of the songs, a couple of songs I'm doing tonight, maybe a little more explicitly, but yeah, yeah. It's very real.
This is a crazy question. It suddenly comes to my mind, I suppose, because I came to Bradford, what, 25 years ago to work in a women's hostel. So the whole situation of women fleeing violence is familiar to me. But suddenly wonder, have you ever sung to a women-only audience? Or how might that be if you did?
Oh, a woman-only audience. I don't know. What have I done? Well, I've definitely done some things for International Women's Day. But by and large... The environments that I've been in have been a mixed company, I think. I definitely have had predominantly women, certainly with those kinds of events, predominantly women environments. Yeah. And I have had, who shall remain unnamed, a friend get... I wrote another song called Gaslight that was about gaslighting. And... My friend edged towards divorce as a result of this. Because oh no, like it was like a horrible checklist, and it was just like, oh God. I'm like, I'm really sorry. She goes, no, it's good. I'm like, is it? But like, yeah, I've had an effect.
And there's no doubt men need to hear this message too. So
of course, indeed. So it's a good job that it's a mixed company. Yeah.
Just think, is your mother still alive? Is your mother still alive?
No.
Yeah. But she were against you singing, but I'm sure she'd be proud of you now, do you think?
Well, she got to that point, I think, eventually. It was a bit of a kind of long arc to that, like the whole artsy trajectory isn't necessarily the most popular thing amongst black and brown parents. Like traditional kind of high-flying jobs are the kind of order of the day. Like definitely if I talk to my South Asian friends, they'd be like, yes, I'm allowed to be a doctor or a lawyer. Or you know, there's a trifecta. And like that happens in you know, black life too. So it was a bit of a long arc to it, but I think she got there.
Oh, good. And just mention your Jules Holland, which seemed to, you know, then everybody I've spoken to has heard of you, knows you. And so that's pretty good. So quite a long time, and then going solo and then getting on Jules Holland seems to have been a very short space to you, does it?
Yeah, like it was a very short kind of space. Like you said, like long time as well. Like I've been kind of in... bands and things over my time, but like I think people have to decide whether they want to work with you, you know, and if it's not just you, it's the whole team you bring, and if the team you bring are people that they don't want to work with, then you can sit there looking at your watch all ready, well, day they ain't coming, you know. And so it was as much down to what I could create, the songs I could amass. It was definitely a lot down to that. I think, like, I've been on an upward trajectory writing-wise from a long time ago, which has been great to be still finding improvement and, you know, self-actualizing. But at the same time, like, I've been blessed with this absolutely amazing team. Like, you look at the people playing in my band, and they are, like, Kit Hawes has been nominated for an AMA UK award and is an accomplished songwriter in his own right in the folk scene. Obviously, if you know anything about kind of festivals and promoting, you'll know my drummer. And like, you just go around. Chris Hillman's won two AMA Instrumentalist of the Year awards and plays with everyone. Like lots of people, certainly from the Americana community. And so I'm just, and then down on keys is a classical composer, and like we're spoiled rotten, and like Mark on bass is a producer. Then of course, like my management team and everybody that's around is like, just, they're really in it. They're really super focused, but they're also like cooperative. And I think that cooperative mind is what people are being able to latch on to. Mm-hmm. It's like you're able to work with these people. Mm. You look at them and go, do you know what? This is possible.
Yeah.
Mm. Like, yeah. I can see how we can find a way together. Mm. And I think it's one of the most underrated parts in the whole artistic development arc is people not paying attention to how their people skills. Mm.
Yeah.
Like, people with no people skills are everywhere. Yeah. Blunt. You know, tactless. Mm. And so having people that have some people skills is a massive gift. And I'm super blessed. Mm. Super blessed for that.
And what about Nonesuch Records? I mean, that's a pretty prestigious label.
You think?
How is it working with them?
So obviously we have a lovely partnership between Easy Eye, which is obviously Dan Auerbach's label imprint on Nonesuch. Mm. So between Nonesuch and Easy Eye Sound, they are doing this beautiful job of putting the record up where it can be seen. Mm. And, like, not to belittle or at all, not to mention Warner Brothers being the parent company to that environment. Mm-hmm. So every territory that there isn't an office, an Nonesuch office, or then we have Warner Brothers all over the world, Warner Brothers looking after us and making sure that we have, you know, what we need wherever we're going, contacted where we are. And so that kind of relationship, and it's very kind of close. Mm. It's more close than you think it would be with the parent company situation. It's very close. Mm. And so I'm super grateful for all of that support as well. You know, it's more than I could have asked for, you know.
Yeah, well, that is good to hear.
I've got to run because it's time for me to eat.
Thank you for taking time.
Thank you very much. No, thank you.
Yeah, okay. Cheers.